And we're back on Freedom Radio. This is Tim Sumner, your host. We have the pleasure of being joined this morning by a very good man. Rabbi Aryeh Spiro is a Fox News contributor, has often spoken on public radio, conservative talk radio. He is the author of numerous articles in the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Times, the National Review, talking out on public policy to members of Congress, policymakers, candidates for Congress. He has been a longtime advocate for conservative values here in America. He has a great new book out called Pushback, Reclaiming the American Judeo-Christian Spirit. He is a friend, and we certainly welcome him to Freedom Radio. Good morning, Rabbi Spiro.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be with you, Tim.
Sir, your book is really amazing. I just got it. I had a chance to read it Monday night. And what struck me most of all is it is both a pushback, but it is also instructive on each and every issue. And you take it from a very great point of view. I think you take it subject by subject on the things that we need to push back on. What brought you to write this book, first off?
The condition of the United States of America. I think the American people are simply coasting, and they have this feeling that everything in America will be fine. They don't have to do much. They can just mind their own personal business and not worry about the country. This feeling that this wonderful country that we inherited from our parents and grandparents that we lived with, the country of prosperity, blessing, liberty, well, that just will automatically be there for our children. And the book says no. If you want the America that we inherited to be there for our children, we're going to have to fight for it, because there are forces now in America, very powerful forces, liberal forces, very wealthy liberal forces, that want to change America. And what will happen as a consequence of their agenda is we will lose our liberty, our ability to choose things. For example, Obamacare limits our ability to choose our doctor, our ability to choose what type of prescription or surgery we're going to want. Our liberties are going to be curtailed under hate speech and so-called hate crimes. And unless we push back, we, the American people, and stop these forces who want to control our lives and basically turn the country into socialism, we are not going to live with this blessed land. It's going to require on our part fighting. And that's something that we have not really had to do. We've fought outside of our borders in behalf of wars that were necessary, but we basically didn't have to fight within our country to preserve our heritage, our American identity. It's now under assault, and we're all going to have to become soldiers stateside to fight these people who are really socialists, wealthy socialists. That's the difference.
And
they don't like Americanism or our identity. And the book says we have a specific identity, and its survival depends on us.
And you talk specifically about the heritage, what we are giving up, and the bedrock of our heritage, that we are not passing it on. And that we need to do a better job of it, not leave it to the educators. You know, you make a great point about passing it on to children. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, what's special about America is its Judeo-Christian ethos, which is its identity, and it also constitutes its whole moral philosophy. It is really a heritage. There are many countries that just simply exist, and people go to work, and they dine, or they have some entertainment, and they just go from year to year. America has a specific identity. It's more than a race. There's not an American race. It's an outlook, and it's the Judeo-Christian. And I'm not referring here to simply something that's religious, because the Judeo-Christian ethos encompasses far more than that. It's the notions of personal responsibility, knowing right from wrong, the idea that a person is accountable but has liberty opportunity to make the best of himself that he can. It's a moral philosophy, and it touches every aspect of life. It really is. It's a heritage. It's something to be passed down to your children. But children will not know what constitutes this heritage unless they are specifically taught it. We're not teaching it to our children. Some of us don't even know that it is a heritage, and some of us simply think that they're going to receive it through osmosis. But that will not happen, this osmosis, because there are forces that are trying to change the whole texture of American life, even the American individual. The American individual was a person of rugged individualism and character, and many of these things are being maligned by a clique, a very powerful clique of people. I don't say that they meet together at specific meetings on how they're going to change America, but it's a certain mindset that they share. And we have to let our children know that that's contrary to the American heritage. And without our Judeo-Christian moral philosophy, we will not continue to be a successful country to the degree that we were. People think that somehow America has been blessed with this economic opportunity, prosperity, liberty, simply because it's some landmass between the Atlantic Pacific oceans. No, it's because of the idea, this great idea. You have to teach that to your children. Otherwise, they're simply victims of those who teach them in school, many of whom, many, who do not like the Judeo-Christian philosophy. They're embarrassed by Americanism. They believe in socialism. They don't even believe in nationalism. They're really transnationalists. They're citizens of the world, so to speak. And so it's up to us, parents, grandparents, people in a home, to teach our children that we have a unique identity.
Yes, I certainly agree. We are speaking to Rabbi Ariyeh Spiro. Folks, you can look at caucusforamerica.com, his website, caucusforamerica.com. He is the author of Pushback, Reclaiming the American Judeo-Christian Spirit. And in talking to our children and also talking to among ourselves, and as we push back against this leftist, transnational people of the world, folks that don't get the American idea, or at least seeking to undermine our founding principles and all that we stand for and why we became great as a nation, you outline it in your book in a great way. One of the big charges that come out every time a conservative tries to speak out about issues is racism or Islamophobia or whatever, and you bundle it under bigotry. And this whole, how do you talk back against charges of bigotry? Speak to that for a minute, please, Rabbi Spiro.
Well, you know, one of the tools, and it's been the most effective tool of the left that really wants to denude us of our special character and wants us to simply be one nation among many nations and nothing special, nothing exceptional, is to label our ideas as bigoted. So anytime, for example, we want to do something to protect ourselves, for example, the onslaught of Islamicism, there's no question that Islam, you look around the world, has a very imperialistic, aggressive, and dangerous agenda, which is to bring as much territory under Islam as possible. Look what they're doing in Nigeria and Sudan. The Muslim Brotherhood has taken over Egypt. Turkey was not a Muslim country in the past. It was Arabic, but not Muslim. Now it is. Lebanon, when I grew up, was basically over 50% Christian. It's now Muslim. And so when you try to alert people, warn them of this danger, well, they'll call you Islamophobic. They'll call you a bigot. It's a tool that they use to basically silence us so that we can't protect ourselves. Same thing if you disagree with Obamacare. They'll call you a racist because Obama is a black, and if you're against his policy or program, then you're racist. It's been a very effective tool to silence us and for them to just capture inch by inch the agenda of America, because no one wants to be called a racist or a bigot. But we have to know our own selves We're not racists. We're not bigots. We're entitled, though, to our own opinions and ideologies. If we don't like Obamacare, it's not because President Obama is black. I didn't like it when Hillary Clinton proposed it, Hillary Care, and she's white. I didn't like it when Russ Feingold proposed it, and he's Jewish. It has to do with the immorality of socialized medicine, because we will not have choices that we really should have. They've effectively used this slogan of racism and bigotry and Islamophobia, homophobia to silence us. But I have found over the years, because I know the liberal precincts very well. I mean, I was in New York City for many years, and I traveled among liberal people. I think really it's they who are the bigots. They have a disdain for the average white conservative Midwest Christian. And when I say Midwest, I mean basically anything west of mid-New Jersey. To them, the people who live west of the middle of New Jersey, west of Bedminster, where 278 hits 78, well, until they get to Los Angeles, in the minds of most of these liberals, we're all uneducated, and we're rednecks, and we're mean-spirited. That's their bigotry, and that really is the untold secret here. It's the dirty little secret that the repository of bigotry is on the left. It's how they view us. And we have to have self-confidence in ourselves, knowing that we're not bigots. Our opinions are not based on racism or homophobia or misogynism or Islamophobia. It's based on standards. It's based on moral clarity. And it's based on a realization of the facts. And the fact is that Islam as an ideology is dangerous and wants to capture us, and the fact is that things such as affirmative action are contrary to the whole American moral notion of meritocracy, and the fact that we define marriage in a classical way does not make us bigots. We've got to feel that self-confidence and not shrink because someone calls us a name. You know, Tim, when I was a kid in Ohio, I grew up in Ohio, there is an expression, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never harm me. Well, it seems that we have an America that is so afraid of being called a name that it's willing to keep its opinions silent, thereby forfeiting its liberty, its right to speak, and its right to define its sociology and its family life the way it historically has been defined.
Well, one of the ways the left speaks out often, and it takes some hold, just the terminology. They use the term social justice. And conservatives often are reticent on many issues, but when you talk about what social justice is, most people don't clearly understand what the left's agenda is through social justice. You address that in your book, and specifically how to push back against the argument for social justice and what conservatives ought to know and how they ought to talk about it.
I think that's one of the most important points of the book, Tim. I'm glad you brought it up. The most effective tool that the left, and remember, they're not liberal anymore, they're leftists. They're leftists in the mold of the Marxist ideology. They're not liberal. I'm a classic liberal. These are leftists. Their most effective tool in getting their agenda across, all these programs that change American life and really curtail our freedoms, is saying that they're doing it in behalf of social justice, which sounds so nice. We all want people to have justice in society. But really, when they say social justice, what they mean is socialism. They want to enact socialism. They want power for themselves. And socialism gives power to those that are part of the government ruling clique. And they'll be able to be that ruling clique because if you promise freebies to people, many people, like back in Rome, bread and circuses, they'll vote for the people that give them the freebies. And it takes a very principled person to say, I'm going to not accept freebies based on the principle that personal responsibility is more important. So when they say social justice, they mean socialism. And we have to be very aware of that. And it's basically social justice for who? It's never social justice. It's never justice for the hardworking, middle-class, white, conservative Christian. We're expected to deny our freedom of speech, our understanding of family life, our jobs in behalf of affirmative action, so many things, redistribution of our wealth, taxation to the point that we have nothing left in disposable income for our family because it's all redistributed to people that the social justice crowd feels are entitled to our wealth. And in the name of social justice, we're really being made suckers. We're forfeiting basic fundamental rights. They want socialism. Many of them do not like the average American. And they're trying to take from the average American his earnings, his liberty, his power. Without money, you have no power. You have to have disposable income to do things. And they're doing it under this slogan, social justice. But Americans have to realize it's socialism. And the irony of all this is that for themselves, they live pretty well. Believe me, many in the social justice crowd, I know them, those in these organizations, they live very well. Somehow it's we, the average American, that are supposed to make all these sacrifices and have our wealth redistributed. They do fine. They have tremendous salaries that are paid for either by the government, which is our money, or by very wealthy individuals who want to transform America so that they will be the ruling clique. And these people are paid very well. They never suffer for the social justice programs that they impose on us. When, for example, hospitals are closed down, clinics are closed down, libraries are closed down, schools are closed down in smaller rural areas because they're now having to take care of tens of thousands of illegals who don't pay into the system. Well, who was hurt are the people in the rural areas, not the social justice crowd. They're from Manhattan or D.C. or L.A. or San Francisco, and they're not affected. Their hospitals don't close down. Their schools don't close down. And it's very smug on their part, which is, in my mind, sinful. I call them smugsters. But it's also dangerous. They don't have good intentions towards us, and they don't have our better interests in mind.
Yeah, I agree. We are speaking again with Rabbi Aryeh Spiro. The book is Push Back, Reclaiming the American Judeo-Christian Spirit. CaucusForAmerica.com is the website. I would tell folks that we've just given you a glimpse of what you can find in this great book. And not only that, Spiro, you go on to talk about how to push back against this, and you give some specific tactics and how to deal with each and every one of these subject matters. I don't want to give too much away. I want folks to come and read it. We really thank you for joining us here this morning. Appreciate you joining us here on Freedom Radio.
They can buy the book on Amazon. And, Tim, remember, everybody should know one thing.
What's
the
that?
Poster child, the general, for all of this multiculturalism, transnationalism, and transforming America is President Obama. He's a very dangerous man. He doesn't feel Americanism. He doesn't like Americanism.
Yep. And we have some work to do between now and November 6th, getting that message out, I believe. I thank you for doing this and for putting this out. It's a great timing of the book, too. My best to the wife and kids, and we'll be talking to you again real soon.
Thank you, Tim.